Let me remind you of where we are tonight. We are studying through these eight applications that we come to in Peter's letter after he has been teaching us in very wonderful and covenantal language that we as the body of Christ, we as Christians, we as the church are first and foremost his precious people in all of those various ways that he's described us. And for that very fact, we are also aliens and strangers in this world. We've been called out of the world, and therefore we are different from the world. And all of these eight applications are helping us not just to simply live better lives, but to live as Christians as we are pilgriming through the world. And so in terms of the way we carry ourselves, the way that we behave, the way that we make our choices, the way that we establish our priorities, the way that we act upon our values must be different than the way that people in the world live by their values and priorities and reasonings, because we represent Christ in even the most mundane affairs of life. We are to live as Christ's ambassadors, not just as we are in the church and with one another, but out in the world. And we are to do that whether we are at home or at work or in public. We are to represent Christ with honest sincerity and devotion and demonstrate how he has changed our lives from the inside out every day. And now as we approach the sixth of these applications, and we've come to the subject of a Christian husband and a Christian wife in their relationship together, I took extra time, in case that you missed that, 8 weeks, in fact, to study the background of the relationship of a Christian husband and a Christian wife. That background we found in Genesis 1 through 3. And then for then 3 weeks after that, we examine the application that Peter gives here to the wives, and after that, we began our study now of the application that is given here to the husbands. And so tonight, we're going to continue in our examination of that particular application. That takes us to 1 Peter chapter 3, which pulls apart from the relationship of the man with his wife and the fruit of the children and the happiness of the home and gets to the real core upon which every happy home is built. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Reminds us of Psalm 1 and the man who denies himself the ways of the wicked, but meditates on the law of the Lord day and night, and the fruit that comes from that, and the description of all of that. Or Psalm 103, which talks about repeatedly that the blessings come to the man who fears the Lord. And fearing God used to be a way of describing a man's sense of devotion to Christ and the way he lived it in his life. A man who fears God would live according to a moral standard in the world. A man who fears God would guard his language, would conduct himself with care. A man who doesn't fear God would be known by all kinds of selfishness in his expression and in his choices. But of course, the meaning of the term is much, much more than just one who acts morally, or one who behaves himself in public. The meaning fear of God, especially in the Old Testament, speaks to the heart of the man's relationship with his Lord. If a man knows God, if he knows the God of the Scriptures, if he prays, if he looks to him for every daily bread, if he devotes himself to learning of the word and of walking in the ways of God for the delight that it brings, is the one who fears God. We might say, well, isn't that a conflict of description? Fearing God sounds like you have to be scared of him, have to be living cowering shuddering in some corner, lest you be judged. I even had one man make an observation to me. He says, I don't fear God, I'm a Christian. The one who doesn't fear God, he's the one who should. And he's right, in a sense, because the judgment of God will come to him. But the man who fears God, according to the language of Scripture, is the one who actually loves the Lord, because he knows he is loved of the Lord. It's that heart relationship. And that heart relationship, of course, is the same foundation upon which a blessed marriage is made. And it is also upon, therefore, which a happy home is built. And so you have here in this both the human condition. You have the condition of the man who does not love the Lord. And he is not blessed, but he is indeed cursed. You are either one or the other. There is, again, no neutral ground. You are either blessed of God. You know God. You love the Lord. He loves you. Or else you are cursed. You are judged for your sinfulness. And you have the wrath of God to look forward to. So being blessed here means the man has been redeemed by the gospel. He's been rescued by Christ. He's been called out. The name of this man is on the Lord's hands. And he goes to the cross, Christ does, for this one. And because of that, the man is blessed. So when you see yourself, reflect on yourself as one who fears God, that's what you mean. Not just one who is afraid not to obey, or afraid of getting caught doing something wrong, but one who is in a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is in your bulletin this evening. It is a prayer of reflection and a prayer of asking the Lord for strength of faith and grace to help in times of weakness. So it's a prayer of meditation and a prayer of asking for the Lord's blessing. Let's read this together. O Lord, you know my great unfitness for service, my distressing coldness of heart. I am weak, ignorant, unprofitable. I am at a loss to know what you would have me do. Return again with showers of converting grace to a poor gospel-abusing sinner. Help my soul to breathe after holiness, after a constant devotedness to you, after growth in grace more abundantly every day. Help me to hold out a little longer until the happy hour of deliverance comes, for I cannot lift my soul to you if you of your goodness bring me not nigh. Help me to be diffident, watchful, tender, lest I offend my blessed friend in thought and behavior. I confide in you and lean upon you, and you all times to assist and lead me. Oh, that all my distresses and apprehensions might prove but Christ's school to make fit for greater service by teaching me the great lesson of humility. In Christ's name, amen. Then we read from the heart of the psalm to be encouraged with the pardon of the Lord for our sins and to be pointed the way to hope and to obedience. It says, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like an olive shoots around your table. These are promises. These are not just put the coin in, turn the crank, and this is what you get. These are promises of God, again, not to only just individual families, but to the church of Christ. This is not saying that Christian families will not face times of great tragedy or great upheaval, or that there will not be times when they must find themselves walking through deep valleys. But it is speaking, again, of the church as a whole, and that this is a promise that God will not leave us, will not forsake us, but indeed bring great blessing to us. And we can thank him for that. It's what gives us the trust to move forward. When you look in the, when you look at your family and it doesn't quite look as blessed as this one's does, you know that the Lord's promise to you is not done yet. His work is not complete, and he is bringing you in, and you will come forth shining as gold. And that's a good thing to know, very good thing to know. Well, let's sing this psalm. You'll find it in the hymnal on page 717. It's a little shy of the threefold amen.
Bless a man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By your toil you shall be prospered and be happy all your days. In your wife you shall have gladness, she shall fill your home with good. Happy in her service and the joys of motherhood. Joyful children, sons and daughters, shall about your table meet. Olive plants in strength and beauty, full of hope and promise sweet. Blow on him that fears Jehovah, shall this blessedness attend. For Jehovah out of Zion shall to you his blessing send. You shall see God's kingdom prosper all your days till life shall cease. You shall see your children's children on your
Well, am I correct in saying we're going to bid a goodbye to the Northern Irish folk? What's goodbye in Northern Irish? Evige. See ya. Erni verni. So long. So long. Boy, that's hard to say. Let's all try that. So long. Okay. And anything particular you would like us to pray for, Gordon? Safe travels. Okay. We'll pray for that.
Just remember Christian Dole and Carmel, that area, and protect the people there. They deal with to the message.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for coming and visiting, guys. It's been our privilege to have you. I want to thank the Stewarts for hosting them all week long and giving you guys a great time. What's on your heart? You see the items that are in the bulletin this evening. Our school, as well as other schools, will be starting up on Tuesday. Please pray for the school, particularly. Challenges are great this year, and so we want to meet them as best we can. Janet, did you have your hand up? Well, last February, right?
January.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Just this year.
I think it was
April.
Was it? Yeah, the mic sort of goes on.
Yeah. She's 91 then? Okay, so it was a year before last. She was one of five original founders of the church, and very committed and devoted to the body of believers there. Anything else tonight? Janet? Pastor's wife, you know.
Stacy was telling me that Josiah had to go to the emergency room. So he wasn't feeling well.
This afternoon?
He's there. He's at GBMC.
Okay. Definitely want to keep him in prayer. Yes?
Daniel just reminded me that we need to be praying for his sister, Delaney.
Yeah, yeah. Delaney's had blood pressure scares. So we're going to pray for her that that stabilizes, as well as Brian. All right, well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come before you with the concerns that are on our hearts, and know, Lord, that because you do hear us and you do bless your people, you will answer according to your will. We know, Father, that we do not always have that perfect, infinite will in our minds. Sometimes, Lord, we're just simply too finite and too small to be able to grasp what your eternal plan is. Other times, Lord, we confess we are very selfish and we want things the way we want them to be. So we pray, O Lord, that you would translate our requests up to you with your Spirit, Lord, in a way that would conform to the will of Christ and turn out to be indeed the best of all answers. We thank you when we see the answers to our prayers. We recognize them. We can see them happening before our faces. And we're thankful, Lord, because we know that you hear and you do respond. We sometimes interpret the answers as no. But, Lord, again, we know that it is simply that you know best. And we submit ourselves to you for that. And we want to be in that relationship to you that depends on you and devotes ourselves to you completely. With that in mind, Lord, we do submit to you those who wrestle with pain, with infirmity, with sickness, as well as with old age. We know, Lord, that you know the number of our days, and you have that in your hand before we come to be. But, Lord, we live those lives, and we feel those pains, and we share those pains with others. And so, Father, we ask for healing. We ask for blessedness in our days. We ask for peace, but Lord, we know that we must meet the challenges that you put before us. So when the number of our days are over, Lord, we ask that you would help us to meet them. But in the meantime, Lord, we do ask for mercy, and we do ask for strength. And I pray for Brian in that regard, as we have prayed so many other times. We pray for all of our shut-ins, Father, that look to you every day for that very same kind of mercy. We add to that now Delaney, Lord, as she's got this issue with her blood pressure, and we pray for stabilization in that regard. And the Barker family does ask, Lord, for your mercy upon Jean Wilson. And thank you for this lady. Thank you for how much of a servant she has been to the church, and how, Lord, she is in your hands and she doesn't want to be anywhere else. We pray for your blessed grace to be upon the men as they return to Northern Ireland. And thank you for their time with us. Thank you, Lord, for the impact of the gospel that these young men have experienced in their lives, and how it, Lord, by your great grace will grow in them. And I pray indeed that you would make each one of those young men soldiers of the cross, bold for your word and helpful to their own environment and culture. Pray for Gordon, Lord, that you would help him in his efforts to serve the church on the session, as well as to represent his people in governmental role, and Father, bless him and equip him with the work that he does and that with the wisdom that he must have. And we thank you, Lord, until we meet again, that you would go ahead of us and behind us and hold us together in your hand. We thank you for all of these things, as well as for those things that we have not prayed for verbally. You know the groans of our hearts. You know our family situations. You know our conditions and our circumstances. And we pray, O Lord, that you would meet us where we are. Teach us to fear you and to live our lives in a relationship to Christ. And we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, you have had a very good break from 1 Peter, so I know you're eager to get back into it.